First Peter 5, 6. And 7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And there's what could be greater than knowing that you care for us in the way that you do. Dear God, we thank you. We praise you for that. And because of that, we know that your Spirit is here with us tonight to help us in the word, to help us apply it to our hearts and lives, to encourage us, teach us, help us to grow. We thank you for that, dear God. We pray for your filling for my dear wife teaching the deaf now tonight, and bless the class there, and may the saints there be edified. Pray for Stephanie in the nursery, fill her and use her there as well, and caring for the children. We thank you so much for that ministry. Father, we have some that would be here tonight, but circumstance or illness has kept them from that. And I pray, Father, that you bless them and be with each one, dear God. And there may be some who could be here but are not. Father, might they know that we miss them, and that you have a blessing for them in your house. As we who come here so often, we know that. We know how you meet with us. We know how you speak to us from your word, and we're thankful for that. And so, Father, bless the saints tonight. God, there's nothing that I can do apart from you, and you know that I've sought your face for the blessing upon your people tonight. And so, God, I pray you'd help each one, encourage us through the week, and help us as we start this new year, that we would have a fresh and a new servant's hearts to want to serve you and be the witnesses you'd call us to be. And for that we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I pondered on what to teach tonight, and I am in Romans chapter 9 in our verse-by-verse Bible study through Romans, and I just didn't feel like, after being out so long, diving into those deep, deep waters here this first night back, and I figured I'd give the church a break and a little bit, let her kind of get her minds eased back into that, and I'll pick up with that study next week. I had a lot of time to prepare. I have a lot of stuff ready to go, and it's just like, yeah, I just want to kind of ease into a little bit, and so I'm going to just take the time to read a missionary letter tonight, and then I will share a brief devotion, something from the scripture Lord kind of led me to tonight, and hope it'll be an encouragement to us all tonight. So first of all, I'm going to read our letter from our missionaries, the Herzls in Vanuatu. And this is their latest one I have, their November-December letter. And Brother Herzl writes, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him." Isaiah 40:10. God has worked a mighty work in 2016, and we are looking forward with great anticipation for this coming year. Together with your support and prayers, even greater things are possible. In November, the church in Port Vila was able to send two men, brothers Ampton and Leith, on a missions trip to the work in Malvacau, if I'm pronouncing that right. They had a great opportunity to support Pastor Nicholson and to preach and teach. Their report was a great blessing. During the visit, we had the opportunity to share God's word. Bible studies were held twice a day, except for Thursday and Monday. And we thank God for the opportunity to share. Throughout the visit, we fellowship with a number of the members and encourage them to grow in grace and be able to work out false doctrines from the teachings found in the Word of God. We encourage them to use the Bible as a source of direction and defense of our belief. Please continue to pray for and support the works here in Vanuatu. Opportunities abound in 2017. Together with your labor, we can witness his work, your missionaries to Vanuatu. In their prayer section, they have on our heart prayer. Pray for the church in Malvaco. Pastor Nicholson is being challenged throughout his village and in community meetings. One of our men noted, said this, Pastor Nicholson has demonstrated his stand against other doctrines, beliefs, but needs prayers as he is continually challenged by a large segment of the village population to move away from the current position. Pray for wisdom and power to stand firm. Let's just pray for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pastor Nicholson and for the church there in Vanuatu. And we thank you for those who do stand firm on your word. We know that your servant Jude said that we must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And Father, I pray you'd help him to stand firm on those doctrines. There are so many getting away from those things to try and find some way to just please the crowd, God, but that's not what you have for us. And help us to lovingly proclaim the truth. We know it is the only thing that can get people to heaven, and it is the only thing that can bring them lasting joy and wisdom and spiritual strength in their lives in this day today. All else will fail. And so help him to remain faithful and blessing the church there. We thank you. Amen. All right. He has a praise here. 24 saved and 2 baptized in 2016. This new year has started with 1 saved and 2 coming for baptism already. Pray for the continued growth and discipleship of these new Christian lives. Amen. Praise and prayer. The surgery on Jim's leg was a great success. The inflammation and nerve issues have reduced and should be completely gone soon. However, due to the reduction in inflammation, his current leg no longer fits, and a new one will need to be fabricated. Pray for a quick and good fit. Prayer also, there are a number of areas throughout the country that have asked for someone to come and to teach and preach. Opportunities abound. Please pray for wisdom in these areas and for more men and women to be willing to go out to be a witness. In the kids' corner, they have Tara writes, Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Pretty sure that's got the bases covered. Maybe we'd be better off summing it all up under Happy Holidays at this point. I honestly have no idea where 2016 went. Seems like the year just ran away with us. We just got back from another trip to New Zealand for one final surgery for Dad, which gave us the chance to be with Rochelle and other friends in New Zealand for Christmas, which was a huge blessing to me. I really can't imagine celebrating Christmas without her home. She hasn't been without her sister for very long. She just has recently moved to go to school and such. Getting ready for this new year, school year, is quite honestly terrifying, as I'm going to be starting my last year of high school. I can't believe I've come this far so fast. It's snuck up on me. Praying I continue the good work I've been able to maintain in previous years with as little stress as possible. I have a feeling this year will be yet another great year of learning, growing, and enjoying the blessings, large and small, as they come. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Brother Jim's surgery went well. We do pray for another fitting of prosthetic leg, Father, that would be helpful to him, and you'd provide all that they need for that, God. Please help in that. And we pray for these places that need a preacher, Father, that you'd send them, God, and and raise up some there. There are those that are being discipled there. No doubt there are some who could preach. We prayed work in that as well. And we thank you that Rochelle and that the whole family could get together in New Zealand and celebrate Christmas. And Father, we just pray you continue to help them and be with them. Help Tara as she finishes her senior year in school. Direct her and guide her for what you have for her life. And Father, we thank you for our missionaries. We ask your blessing upon them and all they need in their safety and provision and wisdom and direction. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Don't be shocked, but I think we need to maybe begin to pray for a building. Just pray for it. You know, this, we don't know how God will provide that. I just begin to pray. I think it'd be nice to have three classrooms. That one you could use for nursery, two classrooms beside, and a sufficient meeting area. Just put that before God. If it's His will or not, I don't know. I'm not telling you that God's telling me that's His will, but I'm not going to not have it because we're not asking. And let's just be in prayer about that. And I don't know how it would happen. A while ago, Charles shared with me, so that church up there by their park there, somebody gave that church to that group of people who are meeting there, and it was all paid for and everything. So let's not limit God, okay? And let's just, maybe you're already praying for that. I know I've prayed for it, if it be the will. I don't have some kind of drive where God's telling me that, you know, this is, is what he wants for us. I don't know. But let's pray about that. I think it would help us in the area of, especially with Sunday school and families coming. It's kind of hard. We're kind of, this is what God opened for us now, but it's kind of hard for us to, to have more classes, different age groups and such. So just be in earnest prayer about that for direction there. All right. The devotion I have tonight, I just entitled it The Trouble Tree. The Trouble Tree. I'll read a little story and then give you some verses and hopefully be encouragement to your heart. One man writes, he says, "The carpenter I hired to help me restore an old farmhouse had just finished up a rough first day on the job. A flat tire had made him lose an hour of work. His electric saw quit, and now his ancient pickup truck refused to start. When I drove him home, he sat in stony silence. On arriving, he invited me in to meet his family. As we walked toward the front door, he paused briefly at a small tree, touching the tips of the branches with both hands. Then, opening the door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His tanned face was wreathed in smiles, and he hugged his two small children and gave his wife a kiss. Afterwards, he walked me to my car. We passed the tree, and my curiosity got the best of me. I asked him about what I had seen him do earlier. 'Oh, that is my trouble tree,' he replied. 'I know I can't help having troubles on the job, but one thing is for sure, troubles don't belong in the house with my wife and children. So I just hang them on the tree every night when I come home. Then in the morning I pick them up again. Funny thing is, though,' he said smilingly, 'when I come in the morning to pick them up again, there are never as many, it seems, as I had left there hanging the night before.'" Isn't that the way it is so many times? And Christ is our trouble tree. Calvary is our trouble tree. Calvary is our trouble tree because, first of all, it is the tree of God's sympathy and understanding towards us. Because in Christ, according to Hebrews 4:15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but what was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now we understand that when it says all points tempted, it's talking about the three major points we're tempted in: the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The temptations that Christ received, that the devil gave him, were designed for him in the area of the flesh. What were those temptations? If you're the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. That was the flesh. He had that hunger in his physical body for that food. So he's tempted in his flesh. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And what did he tell him? He told him that all this kingdom of the world I will give you if you bow down and worship me. You don't have to go through the cross. Just bow down and worship me and I'll give you these kingdoms. So lust of the eyes. Pride of life. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from the temple. The angels will, it's written, they'll bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Pride of life. He tempted him in those three areas. Those are the three areas that we're all tempted in. And yet he was successful for you and I in every one of those areas. And he understands our temptation, himself being tempted in the temptations that the devil had designed for him. And to make him, trip him up. Of course, thank God they didn't. He was tempted for us. It's a treat of God's sympathy and his understanding. I think of John 11:35, those simple two words, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And I was thinking about, I wonder why Jesus wept. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the grave, and it was only a few verses away from you, probably just a matter of minutes away, he'd be coming out of the tomb. Well, I think perhaps maybe he wept because death didn't have to be. Apart from the fall, there wouldn't be death. Apart from our sin, there wouldn't be sickness and sorrows. And perhaps he wept because of what had come upon mankind, all those sorrows. We think of all that God has for us. I think of Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I think that's the way God intended it to be before that fall in the garden. And maybe Jesus wept because he was seeing those things that had come upon mankind. Listen, Christ, Calvary is our trouble tree because of God's sympathy and understanding in Christ for us. He is despised and rejected of men, Isaiah 53:3, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knows. He knows our griefs. Secondly, Calvary is a tree of God's, it's our trouble tree because it's a tree of God's loving and willing heart. It's a tree of God's loving and willing heart toward us. I don't have these alliterated tonight or anything like that, but the thoughts that just pressed upon my heart as I considered it. His loving and willing heart. We just finished studying Romans 8:22. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, God, if God be for us, who can be against us? And brethren, God is for us, amen. And we can be thankful for that. And he's on our side. There's a song that they sing at Treber's Church. First time I heard it, I was actually there and sang it with them in the basement of the church there with the member meeting. And it's on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Evermore will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm on the winning side. We're on the winning side. If we're born again, and God cares for us, and he has that willing heart toward us. I think about those disciples when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem to die on the cross till the end of his ministry, and And he found no place to stay in Samaria because apparently they didn't like the fact that he was going to go to Jerusalem. And many of them thought that Samaria should be the capital, and that's where worship should come from. And apparently some of the Samaritans still held that. And so he found no place to lodge on his way there. And when that happened, the disciples, what did they say? Well, should we call down fire from heaven and like Elijah did? What was our Lord's response? He said in the latter part of Luke 9:54, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. What a Lord, what a God. And I think about our Lord. I think about those disciples in the boat. In Mark 4:38, and they're in that storm. I thought this has to be the most unadvised question, in one of the most unadvised questions you could ever think of. They're in that storm, and what do they cry out to him in Mark 4:38? Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh my goodness, that is such an amazing thought. Here he is, sleeping in a boat, having left heaven, headed for a cross. Don't you care that we're going to die? Oh my goodness. That he cares has to be the greatest understatement in the world. He does care. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the nights are dreary, I know my Savior cares. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Calvary is the tree of God's loving and willing heart. By the way, Jesus said in John 10:18, he says, I laid down my life, no man taketh it from me. You see, that was God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We're all willing in that, in their part, in what God was doing there. Calvary, it's also the tree, our troubled tree, because Calvary is the tree of God's overruling providence. Because a Savior was foreordained and nothing could keep him from the cross. He came to die on that cross for you and I. In 1 Peter 1:20, Peter writes about our Lord, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Boy, what a comfort that is, that God planned that out and then finished his plan, didn't he? Brother Dennis was teaching about that in this past, seems like ages ago, Brother Dennis had a past Sunday school lesson. I think about Joseph. Oh my goodness, we got to review that story about Joseph. You talk about God's providence. I mean, what could have been, who got a worse rap, rap than Joseph got? What a bad rap he got, Look at his, but look what God did with it. And what was his answer to his brethren? When Dad died, they thought, "Oh man, Jake, our father's dead now. Joseph's really going to get the paybacks on us now." No, what was Joseph's answer to his brethren? Genesis 50:20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. I mean, they marked him off as dead. Shipped him away, sold him into slavery. That was evil. And Joseph said, but God was in control. And God made it good. What kind of evil can someone do to us without God's knowledge? They can't. And we can trust God to work all things together for good. Romans 8:28. Also, Calvary is the tree of God's almighty power. What did Paul say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. And by the way, in the context there, he's talking about enduring all kinds of circumstances. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about being content when he had much and being content when he had little. He's talking about, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to live godly when God has blessed me so that I abound, and I how to live godly when it seems I have nothing and I'm nearly starving to death. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Our troubled tree, God's almighty power. Finally, His providence, His power, talked about His willingness, His compassion, all these things being our trouble tree. 1 Peter 5:6, we started there. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I think about a few things about this verse and I'm done. Casting, that's a continual thing. It's something we are to be continually doing, casting our care upon Him. That's such a good picture to me, that story I read, that man hanging his cares on that tree. And by the way, casting shows an urgency. Don't hang on to them. By the way, before that comes, humble yourselves. Well, this one's too little to give to God. I should be able to handle this. No, humble yourself and cast how many of your cares? All of your cares upon Him. Amen. All of our cares upon Him. Don't think there's something too small. Something you can handle without God. Sometimes we think, well, I can handle this without God. Well, can't you handle it better with God? And you probably can't handle it without God, okay? No. Thank God for our trouble tree. And I close with this illustration given us to us in the Old Testament about the cross of Calvary. In the Old Testament, as Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, through Moses brought Israel out of Egypt, when they came up to the promised land, all those things up to the promised land when they came the first time, before they had to go back in the wilderness for 40 years, all up to the promised land, that first year, a little over a year or so, those are things that we all go through in our Christian life and that we all have to go through. We'll see those things in that portion. We don't have to go through the 40-year wandering. That was through their disobedience. We will see these other things. But they came, the Bible says in Exodus 15:22, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out in the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Exodus 15:23. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. There it is. Which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. What did God do? That bitter water that they needed, he says, there's a tree right there. You put that tree in that water, and those bitter waters will become sweet. And you know, when we make Jesus and the Calvary our trouble tree, the bitter waters of life are made sweet, because we find hope through those things. We find His comfort through those things. We find His strength and wisdom and direction through those things. And I thank God, you know, He grew the tree that He knew would be used to make the old rugged cross, one song says. And I'm so thankful for our Savior to be there, always with us, always ready to help us. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much tonight for Jesus. I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I thank You that we can call upon Your name and call upon Your name and call upon Your name and call upon Your name. And You want us to. And I thank You that we have a place to take our burdens. And we need to learn to leave them there, as a song says. And I pray You'd help us to do that, to trust You. Increase our faith this year, Father. And help us to lay more of our burdens upon You, those that we have sometimes keep to ourselves. And God, help us to trust You more and to give You glory in that manner, in that respect. And to be careful to thank You and praise You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.